God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you for being late, an optimist's guide to thriving in the age of accelerations, is the latest work of the popular and insightful journalist Thomas L. Friedman. Thank you for being late is a breathtaking journey through the amazing world that technology has brought us. Due to technological breakthroughs, things are now changing faster than our human ability to keep up with the change, much less know how the changes can be harnessed to our advantage. In our world of globalization and change, technology is accelerating at a pace that is so fast, we have difficulty comprehending how our world is being transformed. Therefore, says Friedman, we live in a world of great fear. We fear what we don't understand, what we can't control or guide. We created technology, but there's a sense in which now technology is creating us, pushing our world so fast that we are fearful that things are spinning out of control. Leaders are unable to guide conversations, much less control the flow of information. The devices that we've created to make our lives more manageable are making our lives unmanageable. And yet, with these technological gains, there have been losses. One notable loss is the loss of community. Ironically, it takes us less time to do certain jobs, but we feel as if we have less time for ourselves, our families, and the things we really enjoy. In this rapid-fire, accelerated world, Friedman says we all must develop skills to take back our lives from the domination of technology. There must be times when we turn off the phone, pull ourselves away from the screen, and slow down. This accounts for the title of his book, Thanks for Taking Time, Thanks for Being Late. By slowing down, by prioritizing how we use our time and when we will use our technology, and when we will turn it off, we can take back our lives and recover that which is most important. So what time is it, brothers and sisters? What time is it? Is it a time of relinquishment, death, and destruction? Or is it a time of birth and giftedness and grace? Well, in the church, it's New Year's, so Happy New Year's. Yes, today on the first Sunday of Advent, we begin a whole new liturgical year. And the gospel we will explore for this year is the Gospel of Mark. Interestingly, today's reading from Mark comes from near the end of the gospel. That's because there's only 16 chapters in Mark, and today's reading is from chapter 13. In chapter 13 is Jesus' longest single teaching in Mark. And not only is he teaching his disciples, he's preparing them for his passion and death that's going to shortly happen. So Jesus is conveying some of his final words to his disciples today. And what he says in today's gospel makes it clear that being a disciple of his will not be easy. Jesus tells us there will be challenges we must overcome in remaining faithful to the Lord. That's because the world will oppose us and resist the good news of Jesus. As his disciples, we must keep awake and pray and ask the Lord to strengthen us in the face of changing circumstances, circumstances that are beyond our control and which will unsettle us and make us afraid. To that last point, Jesus speaks about the signs of the end of the world. Jesus said, in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Jesus goes on to say that even he doesn't know exactly when the end will come. Instead, he urges us all very strongly to keep awake, to be alert for his return. Now, here are some things we need to know about the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel was the very first Gospel to be written. And it was written about 20 or 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. And its audience, the target audience, was a group of Christians that were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. So all these apocalyptic images in today's gospel about the moon and sun growing dark and the foundations of the earth being shaken was surely meant to be taken as a word of comfort and hope for those early persecuted Christians. See, time and again in the history of the church, during some of our most difficult times when the church has been persecuted horribly, these words have been words of hope, not fear. They are words that say to us, hold on, watch, be ready, because God is coming. This is most certainly good news, because what the world needs is bigger than our world's abilities to solve its needs. So God's coming is setting right what's wrong. It's vindicating the suffering and the longing of those who love God. Jesus is saying to us today, look up and take heart. Watch what God is doing. Do you remember in the very first chapter of Genesis how Genesis begins? When God created the heavens and the earth, the first things to be created were the sun and the moon and the stars. And now in this passage that seems rather strange to us from Mark, maybe it's like Jesus is saying that God is starting over with the world, going back to square one and recreating the world, fixing what's wrong and making them right again. And that's good news, because we've got lots of things that need to be set right. From the drug epidemic and crime our country is experiencing, to terrorism, to abandoned and neglected children, to politicians who refuse to work together for the common good, to powerful men who feel like it is their privilege to treat women and their bodies any way they like. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of things that need to be set straight in this world. And in response, we pray, as Christians have always prayed in troubled times, come, Lord Jesus, come. And still, beneath these strange apocalyptic images that Jesus is sharing with us today, I'm hearing another theme underneath all of this end-of-the-world talk. I'm hearing a warning, or a reminder, or perhaps just the plain truth that along with the newness, along with the deliverance and vindication, may come some suffering and pain. God is giving birth to something wonderfully new, but like any birth, this birth will not be painless. That birth and newness that Mark describes as being historic and cosmic in scale is something that I bet some of you have experienced in your own lives. The work that God does among us and in us is holy, loving work, but it often causes us pain. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian author, said that Christianity is a thing of great comfort, but the Christian life does not usually begin in comfort and joy. It often begins in pain and despair. Now, why do I say that? Because it is painful to admit to God and yourself all the ways that we have sinned, all the ways that we betray the image of God that we are created in. It is painful to honestly admit what we really love and crave in this life. It is painful to let go of our cherished idols and our silly fantasies. And maybe one silly fantasy that we need most to let go of is our hope that we can be better people, that we can grow closer to God and better embody God's will for our lives without pain and without having to give up anything. Because it doesn't work that way. You will know you are making spiritual progress, said one of my former spiritual directors, when you can list all the things that used to occupy your life that you have now stopped doing. You see, something is gained when we grow closer to Christ, yes. But something is also lost, and that loss may be painful indeed. At a recent Welka Bible study, I was reminded that when you are a Christian, you are always asking yourself at any given moment or in the face of scary current events, I wonder if God is involved in any of this. I wonder what God might be up to. Watching the news and following current events, I'm wondering if we are living in a desperate time where things seem to be falling apart, or if we're living in a time when God is putting some new things together. And you know, that's not a bad thing for a Christian to ask during tough times in our national life, or in the life of international events, or even in your own personal life. I think it's perfectly fine to ask God, is this death that is happening all around me, Lord? Or is this the birth that you are bringing about? Is this the best of times or the worst? Is the pain I'm going through the pain that comes with birth? During Advent, we are getting ready for a special birth, the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Use these few weeks well. Prepare yourself. Be watchful. Be curious. Talk to God and get ready for Christ's coming. Keep awake. Amen.